Hello, hello, hello.
Prashant, are you ready to fact, buddy?
So ready.
We have a different kind of fact, buddy, today. This fact, buddy, is more like a fact intervention.
Oh, how Christmas cheer of you.
Always trying to keep it light and fun.
Yeah, thank you for this present.
All right, so I want to start with a diagnostic.
Okay.
To see how far gone you are. Do you ever stay up late?
Yes.
Do you ever feel guilty about sleeping in?
Yes.
How much sleep do you feel like you need?
I feel like I need 8.5 hours.
How often do you get 8 hours a night?
Once a week.
What?
Once or twice a week. Can I admit something? I went to bed at 4:30 a.m. last night.
Prashant, this is what I'm talking about. I think you do have a problem.
Yeah.
And it feels to me like you might not be taking your sleep seriously enough.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, why are you responding that way?
Well, I don't think you realize that interventions often come with a lot of shame. So I don't know how you expected me to react.
Well, I don't want you to feel guilty. I think we should move into the healing portion.
Okay. I really want to get there.
All right. I want to introduce you to someone. He's the person who's going to help make this case about why you should be taking your sleep more seriously.
My name is Matthew Walker.
What's your relationship to sleep?
I am in love with it. I am in love with everything about sleep, and not just my own, but all about the science of sleep.
So Matthew's a neuroscientist. He wrote this book called Why We Sleep, which is like half science book, half raging manifesto. I think what he's trying to do in the book is tackle this prevailing cultural attitude that he hates.
People have this sort of, you know, sleep machismo, I would call it, this sort of braggadocio about how little sleep that they're getting.
Do you think this is real?
It's so real. Obviously, it's real. Yes, people love bragging about how little sleep they get. And it's also the sort of narcissism of busyness.
Everyone is desperate to seem busy because we equate busyness with importance. And one way to demonstrate that you are desperately busy and therefore important is to perhaps brag about how little sleep that you're getting or how little sleep that you have the chance to get.
It's that, yeah.
Do you know people who do this?
You know, sometimes I'm afraid I do it.
You do?
Sometimes. And I need to not do that.
You know, sleep has an image problem right now. And society has chosen to stigmatize sleep with this terrible label of laziness. It's a slight suggestion of, well, if you're getting 8 hours of sleep, then you're a little bit slothful. And what's strange is that we don't always hold that attitude. You know, you could think of a parent with a baby sleeping during the day, and no one looks at that infant and says, what a lazy baby.
What a slob.
You lazy baby.
I was thinking, like, I don't know why we don't penalize babies more for their slothfulness.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the culture that we live in, and Matthew is coming at this as a sleep researcher. He's done decades of sleep research.
Okay.
But he, like, I just want to boil down Matthew's take-home point that I think is relevant to your life.
Every single disease that is killing us in the developed world has significant and many causal links to insufficient sleep.
Let me just repeat that. Every major disease that you are at risk for is linked to not getting enough sleep.
Yeah, that's a pretty stunning statement to digest.
Let's go through the disease sleep links one by one. Let's start with cancer.
Yeah.
There have been several large population studies that showed that people who sleep less than 6 hours a night are associated with having a 40% increased risk of cancer.
Whoa, 40%?
Yes.
God, okay.
Compared to people who got 7 or more hours. Here's another one. Mice that didn't get good sleep, that had fragmented sleep, their tumors were twice as large as mice that got good sleep.
Okay.
Let's keep going.
Yeah.
Alzheimer's.
Okay, here we go.
You've probably heard about this. If you don't get enough sleep, toxins build up in your brain that are associated with Alzheimer's. But there's also research that shows that if you treat sleep disorders in older adults, you also see a delay in the onset of Alzheimer's by years. Lack of sleep has been associated with obesity and weight gain. And here's a real kind of amazing study about diabetes. There was an experiment that restricted the sleep of totally healthy people to 4 hours a night. 1 week later, their blood sugar levels looked like they were pre-diabetic.
Oh, God. Okay.
Heart disease. Let's keep going.
Okay.
A study that tracked 500,000 people showed that those who got less than 6 hours of sleep had a 45% increased risk of developing or dying from heart disease.
Okay. Did you... I mean, this is such a look, Flora. Usually, you come with me. You're like, did you know millipedes have 90,000 legs? And it's like, whoa, that's most of the time we hang out.
Shit is getting real, Prashant.
Yeah, this is too real.
Listen to this amazing fact: during daylight savings time, when the whole world.
I should have known that stupid fucking holiday or whatever you want to call it would be biting. That I wonder how, I truly wonder how much death those two dates have caused.
Listen, I don't know about death, but there was this wild thing in the book. During daylight savings, when people lose an hour of sleep, you see a spike in heart attacks the next day.
No way. Really?
Yes.
I don't mean to question his methods, but I am curious as to how they discovered this, because that seems like such a huge conclusion to draw from that one detail that it does make me wonder sort of causation versus correlation.
I think that's a really good point. There is a lot of correlation data in the book.
Right.
And it's key to parse that. But big picture, it seems hard to argue with the idea that sleep is a part of a healthy life.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Or the other thing that's sort of befuddling is that people are totally health obsessed without as much scientific data. Like people, you know, swear by...
Oh, detoxes and juice cleanses and all this stuff that... Yeah, that's such a good point. The amount of money people will invest in just total nonsense versus simply being like... Hey, I gotta go. It's my bedtime.
Well, that's what Matthew said. He was like, it's the cheapest form of healthcare.
Yeah.
I feel like we're at the stage of the intervention where it's like, what do we do differently?
Mm-hmm.
Here are Matthew's top tips for getting good sleep.
Okay.
In no particular order. Number one, establish a routine. Go to bed and wake up at the same time every night. Lower the temperature. 68 degrees is the perfect temperature for sleeping. Alcohol interferes with your sleep, particularly REM sleep. So no alcohol at night.
Gotcha. Okay.
At night.
Lots of people are going to take issue with that.
You can drink in the morning.
Okay.
Matthew says no sleeping aids or sedatives.
Yeah.
Okay. Sedation is not sleep.
Right.
Don't drink caffeine after 2 p.m.
That one I figured out the hard way. What is it? Insanity is doing the same experiment and expecting different results. I mean, I was like chugging a Diet Coke at 3 p.m. and I would just be up and I was like, why can't I get to sleep? And then I'd be like, oh, it's because my brain won't turn off. Maybe I have demons that I have not exercised properly in my psyche, which is keeping me up. I mean, the amount of dancing around the most obvious issue. It was amazing.
Here's another one. Darkness. Underrated.
Oh, not for me, sister. I do sleep with sleep masks. And when I'm on the road or something and I forget to bring one, I always like wrap a shirt around my head.
That is such a good visual.
I think my eyelids are thin and light creeps in too much to them. So I'm constantly like looking for shapes through my eyelids. So I need to just completely black it out. Otherwise,
this is going to be part two of this episode. Thin eyelids.
I have legitimately thought that. I've wondered, are there people who have slightly thinner eyelids than the other people? And has it affected their sleep?
You are ridiculous.
Over the course. Wait, now, how is that ridiculous? You have rattled off a crazy amount of shocking statistics about lack of sleep. You told me that heart attacks spike after daylight savings time. The mention of thin eyelids should not. This is not right. Thin eyelids must be a thing, Flora.
Okay, but also okay. Your screens. So besides wrapping a shirt around your head, also turn your screens off an hour before bed.
Yeah, that is a problem that I don't know how to. I mean,
this is your life, Prashanth. You have to get 8 hours a night.
If you knew the science as I do, you would do nothing else. I mean, the epidemiological evidence is very clear from millions of people. The shorter your sleep, the shorter your life. And I don't want to die prematurely. Sleep is Mother Nature's best effort yet at contra-death, and I will absorb it in greatest amounts.
Yeah. Contra-death. Best effort at contra-death.
You know, the unfortunate thing is we both heard his evidence and we heard that one phrase and we're like, wow, this guy knows what he's talking about.
I know, you're so right.
I mean, it's powerful. I'm optimistic, but I mean, we can't get people to save for retirement properly.
Yeah. My interest is in you.
Yeah.
And you not dying prematurely.
Oh. Well, when you put it like that, I will change my entire life. Look, if you want me to be a sleep evangelizer, I will certainly get on board and I will certainly do my best to change.
I want you to sleep more.
This is the moment in interventions, right? It's like the heavy sigh. And it's the direct ask. Like, I've been dancing around it. I have been.
I know.
And I haven't given you a verbal commitment as a friend who's looking out for my health.
Just one more night a week. Go from one night of 8 hours to two nights.
Flora Lichtman, you have my word.
After the break, the terrifying device that will put this eyelid dispute to bed.
Hello there.
Found something on the internet.
That's always a good start.
That I think you will be quite interested in.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to text you a picture.
Okay.
And I want you to take a look.
I just got it. What is happening? What on earth is happening? It looks like someone's holding a metal clothespin like device with a tube attached to it, and it's wedged under someone's eyelid.
What could that device be doing?
Is this an eyelid measuring device?
You got it.
Oh my gosh, I told you.
Look, you were right. I was wrong. Eyelid thinness is a thing. People do study it in relation to sleep. People like Mariana Figuero, who is the person who invented this eyelid measurement tool that you are looking at.
Yeah, Yeah, we did. We did, which is basically you have an LED. So you put the LED behind your eyelid, you turn it on, and you measure what's coming out on the other side.
Mariana found that there's a 10-fold difference in eyelid thickness among people.
10-fold.
Mm-hmm.
A wave of salvation has washed over me.
Well, then you're really going to like this, because Mariana found that, yes, there is variability in how much light eyelids let through. Like, you could have thinner eyelids that let in more light. And fun fact about eyelids in general, they don't let through blue light, but they do let through red light.
So that's why when you close your eyes, it looks orangey, because you have more transmittance at the long wavelengths.
Oh, I thought that was me looking at my skin. No?
No.
I too thought that I was staring at the reflection of like the blood vessels in my eyelid.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So it's not totally clear what effect this red light is having on your sleep, but
mm-hmm.
I do want to say that your theory is not totally ridiculous, as someone originally suggested. And I actually want to add to the theory, I think you could have leaky lids.
Yeah, the seal.
The seal. Yeah.
Yeah, it's that reason why, like, sometimes when your friends pass out, you can still see, like, their eyeball.
Yeah, or your cat.
You revealed so much information about your life.
I know. Whatever reference works for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But enough about me. It's been 2 days since our intervention.
Yeah.
Has everything changed?
Well, Flora, like all interventions, there's a little bit of a ramp up to it.
That's not my understanding.
Yeah, it's that was basically me going like, you know, Flora, when you go cold turkey, it takes a bit of time.
Sounds like you're still making those same old excuses.
Every Little Thing was produced by Flora Lichtman, Catherine Wells, Christine Driscoll, Phoebe Flanagan, and Devin Taylor. Production help from Nicole Pasulka and Doug Barron. Music by Dara Hirsch. David Herman mixed this episode. Please follow Every Little Thing on all the social media platforms to see a photo of the terrifying eyelid measurer. Sleep well, my friends.